If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we hope you do stay well. We're talking with the Sonnenbergs, S-O-N-N-E-N-B-U-R-G, who've written this sensational book, which translates all the science about those bacteria inside your gut. You have 10 to 100 trillion of them. They outnumber you, your cells, total cells, 10 to 1, it said, but at least 1.5 to 1, but maybe we'll ask that question of the Sonnenbergs. How many bacteria do we have inside us on a normal day? But in any case, they influence your aging, your memory, your personality, your coronary disease, whether you get the obesity or not, and you influence them, and we're going to talk about that more. And then I want to talk about what they eat, since it's in the book, but it's wonderfully put in the book. So, Justin, how many, or Erica, and I apologize, I don't know who to address which question to, how many bacteria do we have in our gut on a normal day, and does how much variation is there day to day, and does it matter?
Yeah, so in our large intestine, there's over 100 trillion bacterial cells living in there. So like you said, we're outnumbered, our human cells are outnumbered about 10 to 1 bacteria to human. But what's even more amazing is if you count up our genetics, so the number of human genes, and compare it to the number of bacterial genes, we're actually less than 1% human. So most of our genetic material that we're walking around, and over 99% of it is microbial in nature. And I think this new view of ourselves as composite organisms is a really important notion to have, just that we are in fact more microbial than we are human. And these microbes are wired into all aspects of our biology. They're wired into our immune system, our metabolism, even our central nervous system and our brain. So it's really important that we're aware that these microbes are there and that we learn how to take care of them so that we can improve our own health.
And then, you know, related to dynamics, it's you point to a really interesting part of this field, which is understanding how this community changes over time in a given individual. So first, it's important to recognize that it's different in each one of us slightly. So we all have our own fingerprint of microbes in our gut, but these microbes are not, totally stable. There's oscillations that occur after each meal, but recent research has shown that a significant number of these species are associated with us for the long term, with years or perhaps even decades. So that's a projection based on a lot of the stability that's seen. So even though there's fluctuations in this community, it appears that it is relatively stable. But an important thing to note that's also come out of recent research is that your microbiota composition, the species that are actually in your gut, are a result of your long-term dietary trends. And so we were talking earlier about how all of us in the Western world have a somewhat deteriorated microbiota. There's good evidence that changing our lifestyle, how we implement medical practices and our diet can gradually change the trajectory of our microbiota over the course of months and years. So there really appears to be this, this long-term trajectory impact of how you're living your life that can positively impact this community.
Although in the vegans we have a plant-based diet large perspective in the Wellness Institute, and in the vegans so Stan Hazen here exposed them to red meat, and then we did a fairly large study, large by our standard study with this, and exposing to more than 100 grams of carnitine in a week or choline in a week change the microbiome to produce trimethylamine oxide and butylbutane in a 1 week period. So it was in the second week that they changed the bacteria from whether it was producing, whether it was the same bacteria or not, we're not sure.
Yeah, right.
But they did change what they produced to be things that caused kidney failure and to be things that caused hypertension and caused inflammation in your arteries.
Right. So there are these two different respects in how you can change your microbiota. One is actually changing the species of bacteria that are there. And we think that this is, you know, unless you have a fecal transplant where you actually bring in an entirely new community, that this change in membership actually is a fairly slow process that tracks with, you know, your lifestyle and dietary habits. But then there's this other part of microbiota change that has to do with its functionality. And so part of this is relative abundance. So a species that was only, you know, 0.1% yesterday, maybe at 10% tomorrow based on something you ate, and that can radically change the function that this gut microbiota is carrying out. And then also what genes they activate can be influenced on a very short time scale. So without changing the membership significantly in terms of who's there, you can drastically change what they're doing.
And I would put a quote in that you have on page 139 about the competing species and the environment within the gut in dictates which inhabitants thrive. It's just a brilliantly, how do I call it? It's enviable lucidity of how you write this. So I do encourage people to read The Good Gut. But before, I want to get one more question in, is what do you guys eat? What do you guys eat when you go out? And what do you do when you go to someone else's home?
Yeah, so, you know, our rule of thumb is, and we have young kids, and they eat the same that we do. Our rule of thumb is we make sure at every meal that there's something on our plate, and usually it's the majority of our plate, is food for our gut microbes. So we tell our children, you know, you need to eat food for yourself, but you also need to remember that you're feeding this community that's living inside you. And what they really want to eat is dietary fiber. So we make sure that our plate always has fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, these types of things, so that our gut microbes are getting fed as well. And you know,
and
we
you
try
vary
to,
them. In other words, if your child loves peas, will you give them peas, or do you force a variety of vegetables and fruits?
Yeah, we do a variety of vegetables and fruits. So we actually subscribe to one of these community-supported agriculture things where we get a box and we never know what we're going to get, and it really forces us to eat a variety of different types of plants and just get used to liking many different types of plants, which is important for kids to do as well.
When you go out,
and
is there anything special that you avoid?
Yeah, when we go out, it's the same type of thing. We focus on a plant-based diet. And I think that, you know, it's no accident that these diets, like the Mediterranean diet that have been shown to have so many health benefits, those diets are also the types of food that really help the microbiota thrive. So I think we're finally connecting now. Why is it that these high-fiber Mediterranean-style diets are so good for us? I think we're seeing that part of their beneficial effect is they're really promoting a thriving gut community.
The Sonnenbergs, we've been enjoying their conversation, Sonnenberg, The Good Gut, Take Control of Your Weight, Your Mood, Your Long-Term Health, sensational book. Thank you very much, and a wonderful interview. Hope you come back again.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.